The show starts in 3, 2, 1.
There goes that man's jock strap. Oh my God, did you see that?
America's team? Yeah, right.
Oh baby, it's a big day in sports.
There's nothing like battling it out with your teammates all season long to go win a championship.
Green Bay's got it this year. Huge move for him. I think it's going to be a game changer.
We have a lot to talk about this busy week in the sports world. Welcome to the In a League of Their Own podcast.
The In a League of Their Own podcast is brought to you by Golf Kicks. Screw your shoes. Buy Cannadips. Rep Sports. Buy Smooth My Balls. And buy Streamer Loot. Check out the In a League of Their Own merch line today. Welcome to the show. Let's see what Austin and Colin are diving into today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 80 of In a League of Their Own podcast. Today's interesting sports fact, we're going to take you back in time to 1980, where a miracle on ice happened. The U.S. Men's hockey team defeated the USSR. Russia now would be the team that would be now. But we defeated them 4-3. We scored with 10 minutes to go in the third period to take the 4-3 lead. Michael Ruzioni took the shot, scored the goal. Then after that, we ended up defeating Finland 4-2 in the gold medal game to win the gold medal. It's one of the greatest things to ever happen to United States hockey.
Yeah, it's always a great story. Obviously, there's movies made about it, and it resurfaces just about every – well, I mean, there's the one Miracle on Ice, but there's like – isn't the – there's a new Disney show based off of it, isn't there?
Is there?
What's it called? Mighty – no, maybe it's not based off American.
I knew they had a Mighty Ducks. I knew they added a Mighty Ducks show.
Yeah, that's it. So it's not off. It's not based off Miracle on Ice then, but
no. But yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. I mean, a couple of those guys, you obviously passed away and whatever, but one who's had a very successful career after hockey is Mark Johnson. He's the Wisconsin Badgers hockey coach and has won them a handful of titles.
Cool, cool. Yeah, then with that being said, we'll jump right into the NFL here. One ongoing thing here that we've talked about before, Carson Wentz with his foot injury. He got back on the practice field, I think either today or over the weekend. And it looks like he's optimistic to, it doesn't say start, but it says play week one. So I don't know if they're going to have limited reps to see how he's doing or if it just says play, but they actually mean start. But regardless, again, he had that 5-12 week window. Obviously it looks like he's going to be closer to that 5-week mark, as that would be literally week one for him to get back. So, yeah, I know a lot of Colts fans are holding their breath over that, but it's good to see him making a quick recovery and hopefully it won't affect his season at all.
Yeah, a lot of what I've been hearing is that he will be back starting week one, and people are confused on how he got the 12-week timetable when he's going to be back at five. So,
probably it. Well, I think it's all based on rehab, because they said after his surgery, once he hits the 2 weeks post-surgery mark, they'll know for sure how quick he's recovering. So that's why
he's practicing, he's good to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, last week would have been that 2 weeks post-surgery, and then they're like, all right, you're good to go. But obviously, if, like, the surgery wasn't perfect to a T or whatever didn't heal properly, I mean, there's always a chance for infection. You, like, there's so many things that could happen in a surgery that could go wrong. Obviously, the doctors who are operating on these athletes are – top of the line doctors that money can buy. So usually they get the job done well, but you never know. So, but yeah, good to see him going to be back out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then talking about another person who may be missing some time, outside linebackers, Darius Smith for the Green Bay Packers. Matt LaFleur said Not sure when we're going to get him back. Hopefully that we can get him back week one. But last week during practice, he was out there, I believe, 3 days. And one of the days that he was out there, his back just flared up on him again. So they just said that they got to be careful with him. Obviously, Rashawn Gary, a rookie that we drafted last year, is able to step up into that role if need be. But, yeah, it's always great to have him out on the field.
Yeah, I know when I saw that he was going to be missing time. I mean, it looks like it's just week one. So hopefully it doesn't go any longer than that. But yeah, he's our number one edge rusher. Preston Smith is right in that ballpark as well. And then, yeah, it looks like Rashawn Gary's had a really good preseason and training camp, and he's looking to have a breakout year. So I could honestly see Rashawn Gary is going to get more reps if Za'Darius Smith is obviously gone week one. But I think Preston Smith, like, he had a good first year, and then last year he kind of fell off the wagon a bit. So I could see if Rashawn Gary balls out that you'll see Za'Darius Smith and Rashawn Gary on your edges going through the rest of the year. And Preston Smith might come in on like third downs, or if a guy needs a breather or something. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Preston Smith is obviously a great rusher as well. And again, Za'Darius and Preston both had over 10 sacks each in their first year with the Packers. So, but at the same time, you got to put the best guy out there. They don't care how good you did 2 years ago. It's how good you're doing now. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, the Packers have a depth of edge rushers. So not too worried about them getting to the quarterback.
Absolutely. Yeah, we should have a pretty good team this year. And then my last point that I have today on the NFL is Cam Newton is out of the building at least until Thursday over a misunderstanding over COVID-19 testing protocols. He had to step away from the facility as he is a non-vaccinated player. He had to go to an appointment or something, which the team knew about. He ended up getting a test at this place that he was at, getting the thing, and didn't know that it had to be in the building through the NFL tests. So they called it like a missed test, quote unquote, missed test. So now he's got a 5-day window where he's technically got to like wait to come back into the building. And a lot of people are speculative that if Mac Jones is really good, he's going to take the job away from Cam Newton and all yada, yada, yada. Maybe if it was an injury, I could see that potentially being the case. But since this was clearly a misunderstanding between the team and the NFL, because clearly they knew that he had to leave the building. I just feel like it's a win-win, I guess, for both. Cam Newton gets, I don't know, 5 days of rest, and then you have Mac Jones, who you drafted in the first round, gets some team one reps.
Yeah, I mean, if this was the week going into, like, this coming weekend was week one of the regular season, then I could see Mac Jones getting that starting job for week one, just because you have your game plan, you have this and that, but you still have preseason week three, and then you still have another week and a half after that until week one. So Cam will be back at the end of the week, and I don't see that being an issue. Again, especially since it being a misunderstanding, that sucked for a player to get the shit end of the stick, losing playing time because of a misuse of words on somebody's end between a text or a form that wasn't filled out correctly, or like you said, he wasn't in the right place or something. But yeah, like you said, I guess it is a win-win. Cam Newton gets some rest and Mac Jones gets extra reps. Yeah, then I have a couple more points here as well. in his return to Soldier Field, Mitch Trubisky gets some revenge against his former team, going 20 for 28, 221 yards and a touchdown in a 41-15 win. So it's kind of a lopsided win. Again, it is preseason, but I'm sure Trubisky still has, I mean, preseason or not, it's got to feel good to win against your older team and do well on top of it. So
yeah, I would have liked to see him get a couple more touchdowns with that many yards.
Yeah, I'm sure. I didn't watch the game at all, but yeah,
I did. It was a shit show back and forth.
Oh,
It was actually, it was pretty fun to watch. And then Justin Fields got his fucking head knocked off. That was,
yeah,
you got to see that.
You're welcome to the NFL moment.
Strictly, it was 100% a rookie move. They were blitzing. He didn't call a protection to pick up the blitz that was literally coming right at him. Took a step, was looking to the left, didn't even fucking see the guy. Fucking, it was a bullshit call, how they called it, a rough in the past or whatever the fuck it was. He hit him with his shoulder, and his helmet was, like, so loose. Like, sitting there, you can see how loose his helmet is. So he could probably throw his head back, and his helmet could probably go flying off. So his helmet goes flying off, so it's a penalty. It's,
yeah, when you bullshit. See it. When you see a good collision like that and somebody loses a helmet, usually it results in a penalty, unfortunately. But because they don't review it. So obviously on the field, the refs see, oh, this dude hit him. If his helmet got lost, that means it was head-to-head flag thrown. Or if they slow it down, you watch the replay. It was contact in the upper part of the body, yeah, but it wasn't like head-to-head.
And your eyes can't obviously see that at that speed.
No. Yeah, moving on to the next point here. Just before the show, actually, I saw a source was talking about this. Reports recently surfaced that the Raiders had supposedly reached out to the Bears back in March to get Khalil Mack back in Las Vegas. The Bears quickly said no to that. So it's kind of funny how that Khalil Mack is basically all that Bears defense has right now, so obviously they're not going to let him go. But it's funny that the Raiders obviously knew that he was good. They got a good amount of value for him, and they've seen him do well in Chicago, and they're like, oh, we want him back. So it's just kind of funny that, like, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to give you him, can we have him back, kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. It's always fun to see that kind of stuff months later that surfaces, and it's like, I mean, even with the whole Rodgers thing back in February, March, whatever it was, that the 49ers reached out to Green Bay for a trade, and there was, like, conversations that happened. Since then, every team that calls the Packers is like, nope, and they hang up. But supposedly back then, there was a little bit of dialogue between them and San Francisco that something could have happened, but obviously didn't. Also, with preseason here, the Ravens continue their streak and have now won 19 straight. I don't know if that I can't remember what the NFL, I think it was 21 or 22 is the NFL record. So obviously they'd have to wait until next preseason to try to beat that record. But I mean, again, it is preseason, but nonetheless, 19 win streak in anything is pretty impressive. So especially with how hit and miss the preseason can be, where if you have your third stringers out there against the other team's first, like, you're going to fall behind for a while in that game and you got to catch up. Where, again, kind of going back to that Bears Bills game, 41-15 is a lopsided game. Patriots Eagles, it was 35-0, where you have these big lopsided games. So the Ravens have found a way to not be on the other end of those. So that's pretty cool. And then my last point for the NFL, Larry Fitzgerald earlier last week talked about his lack of urge to play right now. Some sources say that he is expected to potentially retire before week one. Do you see that happening, or do you think he's just kind of taking his time getting ready for the 2021 season?
He's going to play. I think he'll only play, 10-15 plays a game, not many. Kind of does what he wants to do and not feel pressured, since he has no urge to play. Has he been showing up at training camp and stuff?
I honestly have no idea.
Because if he hasn't been, then I'm going to say he's going to retire. But if he's been there practicing and whatever with the team, then I say this is going to be his last season and he's going to play a handful of plays each game.
Because I think he's been on, like, one-year contracts for the past,
like, 8 years.
Yeah. And for some reason, I think maybe he hasn't re-signed yet for this year. So I think that it's kind of the Cardinals are waiting for Larry to make up his mind whether he's going to play or not so that they can sign him. Because I thought I saw somewhere that he's technically a free agent right now. So he could, obviously, if he plays, he's going to play for Arizona. But I think he is technically a free agent right now. So the Cardinals are just, again,
he's technically a free agent.
Yeah. So they're just waiting for the green light from him. And then they'll, all right, here's another 1 year deal for a couple mil. And then,
but if he has no inclination to play,
yeah,
I don't think a team's gonna reach out to a guy that says, eh, I don't even want to play.
No, yeah, and even if they did, I feel like he's too loyal to the Cardinals that he wouldn't even go play for another team for 1 year. But I mean, it's getting close to crunch time, or that roster number is getting down to 53 end of next week. So,
yeah, I think it was next Thursday by noon, I think,
yeah. So he's got to make a decision by then, because obviously they can't keep that roster spot open. And he's like, oh, I'm going to retire, where they could have had somebody better moved around here or there. So, yeah, I'm sure by the end of the week, he'll say, yeah, I'll come back for one more year, which I hope he does, because then otherwise it'd be kind of a anticlimactic way for him to retire if not everybody knew that was going to be his last game. I mean, every year when a guy like that gets to the end of his career every year, everybody's like, oh, is this his last game? And then he comes back for another year. Oh, is this his last game? Comes back for one more year. So there's always that wonder of, oh, he might retire. But you like to see kind of a farewell tour, to where teams and other venues give their appreciation for him as they know it's his last year. Yeah, that's all I had for the NFL. Then jumping into our Monday or No segment, we have NFL postseason or no. Very similar to kind of what you did last week for MLB. We're going to do the NFL for this coming season. I pulled up the NFL projected win totals, and I picked kind of those eight teams that are the middle of the pack. And I'm basically going to throw a team at you. I'll tell you what their projected win total is. And you kind of decide if you think that they're going to make it to the postseason this year. So the San Francisco 49ers to start then are projected for 10 wins. Do they get back to the postseason this year?
No. I'm going 9-8.
Oh yeah, that's right. All right then. Moving down to the Chargers. The Chargers are projected for 9 wins. Do the Chargers make the postseason? Yeah or no?
Because it's a top team from each division and then the next two best, correct?
Next three best, because it's 7 now.
Oh, so only the first one gets a bye.
Yeah, the first team gets a bye and the other six have to play.
So it's top 4 and 3 extra. Well, fuck, if it's 3 extra... If it's 3 extra, I do have the 49ers getting in the playoffs.
They're the last spot?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So then the Chargers. No.
No? What do you have the Chargers going?
I have them getting 9 wins. I have them going 9-8, but I don't. That's not going to be enough to get in.
All right. Next we have the Chicago Bears. Their projected win is 7.5 wins.
I have 7-10.
7-10. So postseason or no? Yeah, unless like a NFC East thing happens, you're not going to see a team with probably less than 9 wins, getting in. I mean, In
the West, all 4 teams can make it. The South, the Bucks, the Saints are right there. And then in the North, you have the Packers and the Vikings. You really can put all 4 teams potentially in the North. Never know how that's going to shake out.
Even the Lions, who can't win more than 5 games a year?
Yeah, but they have a new quarterback now, new coaches. You have to give them, you know, you have to give them at least a shot.
So would you say the same thing for the Jags then?
I mean, they have a chance. I have them going 5-12.
But in the South with the Colts and the Titans.
And the Titans, they're probably not going to get in, no. But you never know. Like, you know, sports is sports. You never know what's going to happen. You know, fucking a catastrophe could happen. Mahomes could go down for a season. Rodgers could go. You know, so many different things can happen where a team could literally be fucked.
Yeah. Moving on next, then we have the Las Vegas Raiders. They are projected for 8 wins, postseason or no?
I am going 10-7, but still not enough to get in.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that is, I keep forgetting that because of the extra game. Usually, like, if you're a 10 win team, like, you're
normally you're there, but now it's that's the new 9-6. You never know.
Yeah. All right, now down to the next bubble team. The Miami Dolphins are projected for 9 wins, postseason or no?
I'm going 6-11 and no.
6-11. All right. The Pittsburgh Steelers are projected for 9 wins, postseason or no?
I'm going 8-9.
Well, if you had the...
But
if
after seeing the preseason game...
Well, if you have the Raiders going 10-7 and missing...
That was my old projection, so... For the Steelers, after what I've seen out of their couple preseason games, I think that they have a couple young kids who are actually pretty fucking good. And if Ben Roethlisberger can hold it together, I think that they can make it to the postseason.
How many wins do you see them getting? They're projected for 9. 10 is kind of that benchmark of...
10-7, I think. It's going to be 10-7 or 11-6. They might start out really hot again at the beginning.
Yeah, because last year they went 11-0, and then...
Yeah, they always kind of start off really good, and then towards the end is kind of where they shit the bed.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I feel like Ben is kind of overstated his welcome, but...
But now that he's the fittest he's ever been, dude, you know?
Yeah.
He can still throw the ball. He's a big fucking guy. He never gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you have Najee Harris, who fucking looks phenomenal as a running back. I mean, you did lose Chase Claypool. Who knows, obviously, how long that is, but I think that team could be scary.
Yeah. All right, then, moving on to the last two teams here, we have the New Orleans Saints, who are projected for 9.5 wins.
Who that? They go into the playoffs.
What do you have them going again?
I'm going 14-3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Does that have them? Do you have them winning the South?
Yes, I do. I have Tampa Bay going 13-4.
All right. Then the last team here going back to the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings are projected for 8.5 wins. Do they make it to the postseason?
I think they do. I have them going 10-7.
10-7. All right. Cool. Well, there's a hand. I mean, there's other teams. I just figured I'd do 8. I mean, could some of these other teams, like the Patriots, are projected for 9, but I feel like everybody's expecting them to go back. The Cowboys are projected for 9.5. They could easily do that, winning the NFC East.
Who do I have the Cowboys going? 7-10. I have the Washington football team winning that division again.
And they're projected for 8 wins.
I have them 9-8. I have the Giants 8-9. And the Eagles 3-14.
Yeah. The Eagles are projected for 7 wins. That seems I mean,
fuck, I have the Jets going 7-10.
And they're projected for 6, so that's close.
What about the Broncos? I have them going 6-10.
Broncos are projected for 7.5 wins.
Wow.
So I guess some of these
Chiefs?
14, I think. I have them at 12.
Let's go. What about the Bills?
10.5.
I have them at 11-6. What about the Finns? Oh, we already said the Finns. Texans?
Texans tied with the Lions, 5 wins on the year.
I have 4-13.
And yeah, the Lions or five Texans and Lions at 5 is the two worst projections for the year.
And then what are they predicted? Jags?
6.
I have 5. Colts.
Colts 10.
I have 9. Titans.
9.5.
I have them at 11. What about the Ravens?
Ravens are projected for 11.
I have them at 10. The Browns?
10.
10. Bengals?
6.5.
I have them at 6. Damn, dude. I could be a fucking guy here.
Yeah. I mean, the over-under on all these are like minus 140 plus 120.
Some other teams here. What about the Panthers?
7.5.
Fuck, 7.5. I have 3-14 on that one. Falcons?
7.
8-9. The football team, where do they have them going?
8 wins.
Cowboys, what do they have them getting?
I think 9.5. Yeah, 9.5.
Rams?
10.5.
Seahawks?
10.
Cardinals?
8.
I have them 9-8, and then the Niners.
Niners are projected for 10 wins.
Dude, I'm like right there on every single one except for the ones where I think the Eagles are going to shit the season away, 3-14. I feel like Jalen Hurts is going to get hurt, and then the Panthers, Sam Darnold just ain't a guy. I mean, I think people are going to figure that out real quick this season.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the shop again trying to get traded for something.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have one of the better defenses this year. The past couple of years they stuck a lot into that defense, so
you got to score points, so.
Yeah. But at the same time, if your defense is giving up a ton, you don't have a chance. Or if their defense can hold teams under 20, it at least gives them a chance. Got to score 3 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I have then for the no segment. We'll jump right into the NBA here then. What you got over there?
I just got 2 quick points here. First point, 30 for 30 podcast and the Undefeated are presenting the King of Crenshaw, a Nipsey Hustle podcast series. We're doing some sort of legacy podcasting to him, where I do believe that they are going to have members of the – come on, computer. Oh, it ain't loading. But it was something along the lines of where they were having people that were very influential in his life, helped him make his music. For those of you who don't know, he was murdered a couple years ago. And he really was involved in making the city of Los Angeles and a lot of things like a lot better there. He donated a lot of money and made things a lot better. So they're paying respects to him on that. And then the last thing that I have is the Boston Celtics are retiring Kevin Garnett's jersey on March 13th, which has been a long time coming because KG was the fucking man.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that it took him that long to do it. But
you figure it's probably been 10 years now, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they wanted to do it last year, the year prior, but COVID, he's like, no, I want a packed house when I come do it. So, yeah, that was, or I had, I guess, one other point, I guess, kind of going back to over-unders. The Nets open, again, they're still favorites to win the title this year, and they are projected for a league best 54.5 wins. Do you see them over or under that mark for the year?
Over.
Over?
Mm-hmm. I feel like this team could threat the Golden State Warriors season if all three are healthy the full length of the season.
That's, what are they, 73-9?
Yeah.
Was there?
Because this is definitely the most, one of the most explosive offenses ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like the numbers that they were putting up were on to, above Golden State's numbers.
Yeah.
When all three of those guys were healthy and out there. So,
but Golden State had better defense to where the Nets probably could have had 5 to 10 more wins last year, but they'd put up 130, 140 points, but they'd still lose because they have no defense.
Yeah, I feel like that's the one thing that they're going to try to focus on from last season to this season is getting a couple more stops and you got W's. I don't know. I just feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they'll pass 54.5 too. I think that's a low mark. I'd say 60 would be like more of a, I guess, better mark to go off of, which I could even see them doing better than 60. But I don't know. I don't know what their schedule looks like this year. Again, if they're playing a lot of the top, I know that their opener is in Milwaukee when Milwaukee's doing their banner and ring ceremony. So that'll be a fun opener to watch. I mean, it's a long season and there's a lot of games to be played. Usually you have some tough road stretches where you're gone for a week at a time and the Nets are on the East Coast. So if you got a stretch on the West Coast, sometimes that could be tough on the guys with that time difference and being across the country for that long. So, yeah, if they stay healthy, I agree with you that they could kind of be in that ballpark where when there's 20 some games left that they at least have a chance to come close to that Golden State mark. Yeah, that's all I had for the NBA then. We'll jump over to the MLB here. The Brewers win their weekend series against the Nationals with back-to-back wins Saturday and Sunday after dropping Friday's game. Yelich hadn't hit a home run in almost 2 months in Milwaukee, but he changed that Saturday, jumping on his first pitch in the bottom of the first for a solo shot. And later in the eighth, with just a one-run lead, Yelich hits a 454-foot grand slam to put the nail in the coffin. Late in that game, it actually got interesting. The bases were loaded with, like, two outs, and I think Juan Soto came to the plate. So the Nationals had a chance to actually tie it up right at the end with one swing of the bat, but Hader got the save, and, yeah, they won the series. Sticking with Milwaukee, Giannis, Mr. Greek Freak, buys a stake in the Brewers to become a minority owner of the team. So, actually, I guess he did this back in March or April, but they didn't want to distract him or take anything away from the Bucks on their run to go win the chip. So, supposedly this happened like 5 months ago, but they just made it official, last week. Miguel Cabrera hits his 500th home run yesterday to become the 28th player in history to hit that mark, and the Tigers would also go on to win that game 5-3 in extras. The Atlanta Braves hand the Orioles their 18th straight loss and are now just three losses from tying their franchise worst 21. And lastly, the Mets snapped the Dodgers' 9-win streak with a 7-2 win as Javier Baez saw the field for the first time in 2 weeks, notching two doubles and an RBI. That's all I got in the MLB.
I just got one question for you. Do the Cincinnati Reds hold on to the last wild card spot? They have a game lead now over the Padres as the Padres continue to struggle.
You know, it's actually interesting. The Brewers have their midweek series against the Reds. So
both teams are 7-3 over their last 10.
The Brewers and Reds?
Yeah.
It's in, I think it's in Cincinnati, too.
It is, and they're 7.5 back on us. And they have a one-game lead over the Padres right now for the last wild card spot.
And who are the Padres? Let me take a look quick. Obviously, there's a lot of baseball left to be played, so this series this week isn't going to make or break these teams' season, but the Padres play the Dodgers. I don't think that the Reds will – they'll keep the lead for at least another 2 weeks, but then the Padres are going to make another push and take it back.
You think so?
Because the Reds have, what, a one-game – you said they have a one-game lead right now for that spot?
A full game.
I mean, I could see I could see the Brewers either – or no, it says – it says it's in Milwaukee.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So I could see the Brewers, they're going to win that series, whether it's a 2-1 win or a series sweep. And I see the same thing happening to the Padres, either getting swept or winning only one game. So they're going to basically stay the same. The Reds aren't going to make their lead any bigger. Actually, it'd be interesting to see if the Reds and Padres end up playing each other at some point. I mean, there's over a month of baseball left yet, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do. But, I mean, there'd be a lot of implications on that series, obviously, having the head-to-head tiebreakers and conference record and all this and that, but... I don't know. I mean, the Padres should they were the top team in the West for the first month and a half of the season, and they just kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch. So I feel like they're going to get back to winning. I definitely don't see them winning that division. I think the Dodgers will definitely hang on to it, especially since they have like a 9.5-10 game lead for that division right now. But I don't know. The Reds have been quietly a good team this year, but I don't see them making enough noise to solidify themselves as a playoff team. All right, then. Jumping over to the NHL.
Sounds good. Jumping in real quick, my Philadelphia Flyers avoided their final arbitration case on Saturday, re-signing defenseman Travis Sanheim, 25-year-old, to a 2-year contract. The deal carries an average annual value of $4.675 million. There's a lot of defensemen shuffled on and off the depth chart during the offseason for the Flyers. However, he did play 55 of 56 games last season. He wanted to get paid a decent chunk of money. So that's why he was holding out in arbitration. He ended up winning as he ended up getting his deal. So shout out to Travis Sanheim. And then two little bits of sad news here. Rod Gilbert, Hockey Hall of Fame forward for the New York Rangers, had passed away at the age of 80 yesterday. And then also just coming right before we got on the podcast, one of my favorite player on the Flyers, his brother, Jimmy Hayes, a former NHL player as well, played one season with the Devils, one with the Chicago Blackhawks, and two with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He died unexpectedly this morning at the age of 31. The cause of death was not immediately known, but according to like the authorities and first responders, nothing is considered suspicious or anything. So I guess details will come out as time passes here, but may our condolences be with all the family members and everybody who these people touched in their lives, because there's some special people and it's unfortunate that they had to pass away.
All right. That's all I had for today. Little League World Series, obviously still going on. It's been some fun games to watch. I know there's some makeup games today, right? Because there were supposed to be two of the three that are supposed to happen yesterday got postponed.
Correct. I'm actually pulling it up as we speak.
Let's see here. August 23rd, yes, today. So we get four games today. Michigan, Texas, looks like they should be underway. It says 1 p.m. Eastern time, so that should be underway right now. Oregon, South Dakota, Ohio, Louisiana, and Washington, Nebraska. I think that these are these all a part of the consolation bracket?
I think two of them, I believe, are
Michigan
championship brackets.
Michigan's got to be championship bracket because I don't think they've lost yet.
Because the games that I watched yesterday, that kid that's got fucking like a no-hitter, basically. Oh, 2 o'clock it starts here our time.
Which one?
Doesn't say. Just says bracket two. Because there's nothing on right now.
Oregon, South Dakota says it starts 3 p.m. Eastern, so that would be 2 o'clock.
Yeah, because there's nothing on right now.
Oh, it says weather delay. So there's a weather delay again today.
Yeah, because it was fucking pissing rain there yesterday. They were showing it because they replayed the 2019 United States Championship game between Louisiana and Hawaii during the weather delay. And I was like watching it, and I was like, oh, this is a sick game. I was like, these kids in Hawaii don't look like the kids that I watched out in Hawaii. And then all of a sudden in the upper corner is like 2019 Little League World Series. I was like, damn, Texas is up 2-0 on Michigan, bottom of the first. Looks like there's like 40 mile per hour winds and pissing rain. So it's going to be a bit. It's going to be a bit, folks.
Well, hopefully they can get all the games in today because I know they had to push two of them back. So you'd hate to see them have to push back again.
Well, you can't control the weather, though.
Yeah.
They plan for that shit. That's why it's like 15 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have two fields, too. So they can, if they have to, because they the way they have them spaced out, they have them like 2 or 3 hours apart.
Yeah, one bracket plays on one field and one bracket plays on the other field.
Yeah. But I guess worst case scenario, they have two games going on at the same time. Because usually as soon as one ends.
TV, that ain't going to work, though.
Well, they just have to move it to another ESPN or something. Because they're on, yeah, they have it on ESPN and ESPN2. So they already have games on two different channels. So they just have two going on at the same time, unless there's already something else scheduled. So it makes you think right now because
that's makeup what happens. Games. It goes from the first game is on ESPN, the second game today is on ESPN2, third game is on ESPN2, and then I'm guessing the fourth game, if there is one, due to time constraints, I bet it's probably going to be on ABC.
Yeah,
but yeah, yeah. You want to take us home?
Yeah. Again, thank you to everybody who stops into the podcast. Crazy, it's been 80 episodes already, getting close to that 100 mark. Make sure if you guys are enjoying the content, hit the subscribe button down in the corner and the bell notifications so you know when our stuff is getting posted. To stay up to date on sports news by the hour, usually pretty good at getting stuff up. Check out our Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And for our audio episodes, you can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, anywhere associated with Anchor, you can find us. Feel free to give us a 5-star rating as it helps us move up the charts and get the podcast out there that much more. And again, we have merch. We have a merch store. So feel free to check out the description at the bottom of this video. We got some shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, stickers, things like that. As time goes on, we'll obviously update that, but yeah, feel free to throw on a shirt, tag us in any of the socials, and we'll give you guys a shout out as well. So again, thanks for stopping in, everybody. And we'll see you on Wednesday.
See you on Wednesday, everyone.